ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय नारायणं नमस्कृत्य नरं चैव नरोत्तमम् देवीं सरस्वतीं व्यासं ततो जयमुदीरये नष्टप्रायेषु अभद्रेषु नित्यं भागवत सेवय श्लोके भक्तिर्भवति नैष्ठिकी कृष्णाय वासुदेवाय देवकी नन्दनाय च नन्दरूपकुमाराय गोविन्दाय नमो नमः We are reading from Canto 6, Chapter 9, titled as The Appearance of Demon Vritrasura. And we will do a set of verses actually, because many verses don't have to put. So we read from verse number 12.
Athan Vaharya Panchanan
Athan Vaharya
Athan Vaharya Panchanan उत्थितो घोरदर्शनः कृतान्त इव लोकानां युगान्तः समये यथा अथान् बाहार्य पञ्चनाः समये यथा अथान् बाहार्य पञ्चनाः उत्थितो घोरदर्शनः कृतान्त इव लोकानां युगान्तः समये यथा
अथ देर आफ्टर अन्वाहार्य पंचनाद फ्रॉम द फायर नोन एज अन्वाहार्य उत्थितः राइजन घोर दर्शन अपीयरिंग वेरी फियरफुल कृतांतः personified annihilation eva like lokanam of all the planets yugaanta of the end of the millennium samaye at the time yatha just as translation thereafter from the southern side of the sacrificial fire known as anvaharya came a fearful personality who looked like the destroyer of the entire creation at the end of the millennium. Because there are no purpose, we'll read a few more verses. Verse number 13 to 17. Like arrows released in four directions, the demon's body grew day after day. Tall and blackish, he appeared like a burnt hill and was as lustrous as the bright array of clouds in the evening. The hair on the demon's body and his beard and mustache were the color of melted copper, and his eyes were piercing like the midday sun. He appeared unconquerable, as if holding the three worlds on the points of his blazing trident. Dancing and shouting with a loud voice, he made the entire surface of the earth tremble as if from an earthquake. As he yawned again and again, he seemed to be trying to swallow the whole sky with his mouth, which was as deep as a cave. He seemed to be licking up all the stars in the sky with his tongue and eating the entire universe with his long, sharp teeth. Seeing this gigantic demon, everyone in great fear ran here and there in all directions. That very fearful demon, who was actually the son of Tvashta, covered all the planetary systems by dint of austerity. Therefore, he was named Vritra, or one who covers everything. Purport. In the Vedas it is said, Sahima Lokan Agrano Tad Vritrasya Vritratvam. Because the demon covered all the planetary systems, his name was Vritrasya. 19. The demigods, headed by Indra, charged the demon with their soldiers, striking him with their own transcendental bows and arrows and other weapons, but Vritrasura swallowed all their weapons. Stuck with wonder, 20. Stuck with wonder, the disappointment upon seeing the strength of the demon, the demigods lost their own strength. Therefore, they all met together to try to please the super soul, the supreme personality of Godhead, Narayana, by worshipping him. 21. The demigod said, the three worlds are created by the five elements, namely ether, air, fire, water, and earth, which are controlled by various demigods, beginning from Lord Brahma. Being very much afraid that the time factor will end our existence, we offer presentations unto time by performing our work as time dictates. The time factor himself, however, is afraid of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Therefore, let us now worship that Supreme Lord, who alone can give us full protection. Purport. When one is afraid of being killed, one must take shelter of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. He is worshipped by all the demigods, beginning from Brahma, although they are in charge of various elements of this material world. The words Vibheti Yasmat indicate that all demons, regardless of how great and powerful, fear the Supreme Personality of Godhead. The demigods, being afraid of death, took shelter of the Lord and offered him these prayers. Although the time factor is fearful to everyone, fear personified is afraid of the Supreme Lord, who is therefore known as Abhaya, fearless. Taking shelter of the Supreme Lord brings actual fearlessness, and therefore the demigods decided to take shelter of the Lord. Om Ajnana Nimirandhasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshurunmilitam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manobhishtam Sthapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Padamahiyam Dadati Svapadamikam Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Yuta Padakamalam Shri Guru Vaishna Vamscha Shri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Raghunatha Tam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadhutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakham Vitamscha हे कृष्ण करुणा सिंधो दीनबंधो जगतपते गोपेश गोपिका कांत राधा कांत नमोस्तुते तप्त कांचन गौरांगी
राधे वृंदावनेश्वरी ऋषभानुसुते देवी प्रणमामि हरि प्रिये वाञ्छाकल्पतरुभ्यश्च कृपा सिंधुभ्य एव च पतितानां पावनेभ्यो वैष्णवेभ्यो नमो नमः जय श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभो नित्यानंद श्री अद्वैता गदाधर श्रीवासादि गौर भक्तवृंद हरे कृष्णा 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 हरे 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 राम हरे राम 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 हरे हरे यम प्रव्रजन्तम् अनुपेतमनुपेत कृत्यम् द्वैपायन विरह कातर आजुभावा पुत्रेति तन्मयतया तरवोभिनेदो स्थं सर्वभूत हृदयं मुनिमानतोऽस्मि
हरे कृष्ण वेलकम ऑल ऑफ यू फॉर टुडेस ग्रंथराज श्रीमद् भागवतम्स डिस्कशन अ वेरी इंटरेस्टिंग चैप्टर एंड अ वेरी इंटरेस्टिंग सेक्शन ऑफ द भागवतम इज गोइंग ऑन the appearance of the demon, devotee demon, Vritrasura. It's a very interesting chapter. Actually, when we read this chapter, you know, when you watch horror movies and horror serials, viewer discretion is required, they say. See? So to read this chapter, you need to have viewer discretion, because just a few verses before we saw, what did Indradev do? He chopped off the heads of Tvashta's sons. Is it not? What was his name?
Vishwarupa.
So he had three heads. So he chopped off the heads. So sometimes Bhagavatam surprises with these episodes. And sometimes when we read, even reader's discretion is required. So we have to understand, Srimad Bhagavatam is in one sense a very simple literature, but at the same time it's a very complex literature. For that case, any Purana. And it is not such gross, when we see the heads of Vishwarupa being chopped off, we have to understand that the devatas don't have a gross body like us. They don't have a body like us which has a head, which is made of a vertebral column and you have the nerves connecting. They don't have a body like us at all. They have a sukshma sharira. So chopping of the head means it has to be taken only notionally, not literally. And we see this time and again, we see the Brahma Kapala episode where Lord Shiva chops off the fifth head of Brahmaji. We also see Shiva chopping off the head of Daksha Prajapati. So these pastimes are not the gory pastimes, the gory details that we see in today's so-called terrorist activities where the heads are chopped off. It's not like that. So we have to be careful when we read Bhagavatam. Now in this section, what has happened? The birth of Vritrasura is discussed here. What's interesting is, just to understand a few verses before, there was Tvashta who got angry. Why did he get angry? Because Indradev killed his son. And why did Indradev kill his son? Vishwarupa? Because Vishwarupa was cheating. Is it not? He was cheating or not?
Yes.
He was cheating. Now imagine you are calling a pujari to your house and you have asked to do a Satyanarayana Katha for the well-being of your family. Or let's say you have called to get your daughter or son getting wedded. He comes, but he is reading mantras for getting his daughter also get wedded. You see, he's using your platform to do something else. So obviously the owner gets angry, isn't it? So that's what happened to Indradev. And he said, this is not right, you are cheating. In fact, just to understand, the yajna, when the yajna is done, devatas thrive on the ajya. Ajya means the ghee that is poured in the oblations. Ajya meva tushti. So they get tushti, they get strength by the ajya that is poured. But the same strength can also be given to the demons if the consciousness, so it is not the activity itself, it is the consciousness. Tvashta was offering it to the devatas and was also offering it to the demons. So as a result of that, the demons also were getting strengthened up. So that's why Indra said, you are actually strengthening up the demons, which is not right, and you are doing, you are cheating. So because of this, Tvashta became angry. So he decided to beget another son who can killed Indra. So the intention of Tvashta, you have to understand. This section, this we read, now can many lessons can be taken on from this section. Tvashta's intention was to give birth to a child who can kill Indra, or who can revenge the son, the killing of the son Indra. So the intention itself is wrong in the first place. The intention is anger and hatred. You see, he wanted to have a son in the mood of anger and hatred. And we will see what happens. But the Lord's inconceivable plan is happening here again. So he wanted a demon who can kill Indra. But at the same time, what has happened just a few eons ago, Chitraketu gets cursed by who? By Parvati Devi. And we know the episode, we will read the episode ahead, of how Chitraketu was jokingly commenting with Lord Shiva, because they both are friends, so they were on an equal platform in one sense. But Parvati Devi misunderstands it. If we see the whole episode, Tvashta getting angry, Parvati Devi cursing, Lord Shiva smiling, it looks like the Lord's arrangement is very, very nice. And most of the people, many times when we say, I am speaking, I am thinking, it is actually the Lord making us speak. It is actually our Lord making us think. So it's actually the Shakti of the Lord which is playing up, and plus our condition. You see, Lord's desire is there, but we have a filter of condition there, and it gets filtered through the conditioning chambers, you see. So in the same way, this was happening to Parvati Devi, and Shiva and Chitraketu got cursed. So Parvati Devi says, oh, Brahmaji did not find fault with us, and Parvati Devi was sitting on the lap of Lord Shiva. So Chitraketu says, how wonderful it is that Lord Shiva, who is so in Vairagya, he sits like this in front of the sages. So how wonderful Shiva's pastimes are. But Parvati Devi takes it as a different way. She says, oh, he is finding fault with you, my dear Lord, and with us. Brahmaji, Narada Muni, and the sages who are sitting ahead haven't found fault. But this guy thinks he is senior to you, so he is finding fault. So see, many a times, when something is said, it depends on the consciousness of the person who is hearing it. It is not what has been said. They say in English, my words in your mouth, something like that. So it is not, sorry? Don't put your words into my mouth, you see. So in the same way, Parvati Devi misunderstood Chitraketu. But she is also known as what? She is also known as Mangala Gauri. So Parvati Devi can never be inauspicious. So this is always we see, devotees can never be inauspicious, especially exalted devotees like Lord Shiva, Goddess Parvati. So when they get some doubts, whatever they speak will always be auspicious. So in this case, what has happened? Chitraketu said something, but by then Chitraketu was a pure devotee of the Lord. And of course, the Lord had to make an arrangement for him to get back home back to Godhead. But probably there was some residual karma left. So the Lord was, you know, Lord's plan is perfect. So he says, okay, now I will instigate Parvati Devi to misunderstand. And Lord Shiva knew all of this. So, you know, he's always mandasmita. He just smiles. Lord Shiva just smiles, whatever you say. And then Parvati Devi, after she curses Chitraketu to become a demon, then actually Lord Shiva chastises Parvati Devi to say, this is not right what you did. Although Lord Shiva knew his Trikala Jnani. He knew that the demon's birth was actually an auspicious birth in one sense. So, here we see speaking also is a function which the Lord governs. Tvashta wanted to pray and invoke a son who can kill Indra. But without his knowledge, he has invoked an enemy of Indra. Or Indra being an enemy. So, reverse has happened. So, instead of he being the enemy of Indra, Indra is the enemy of his son. So therefore, which has rendered the demon in one sense to be, will be destroyed. So without his knowledge, this happened. Same happened with Hiranyakashipu when he asked for the boons. So he made all the calculations. So the lesson we take is, no matter what our material calculations are, the Lord's plan is the ultimate. What is that in Hindi movies they say? Wahi hota hai jo
khuda hota.
So whatever the Lord desires, thou desire shall be fulfilled. You see, in Bible also we say,
thou shalt be blessed.
Huh? Yeah. So, now Vritrasura, Vritrasura takes birth as the son of Tvashta, and we read many verses of how he was growing so huge and he was looking like burnt hill. When you remember of burnt hill, what do you remember? The forest fire in Australia. You see, if you travel on the green plains of Australia, you will see how the burnt mountains are and the trees got burnt. So, a couple of years ago when we had a forest fire. So, he was growing like that. So, we can take many lessons from this, that Vritrasura was a devotee at heart. But when he took the birth as the demon, not that he knew I was a devotee. Not that I know I am a devotee, but I am just a demon. He doesn't know that. He is a demon. That's why he is acting as a demon. You're getting the point? But inherently his nature is a devotee. He's devotee by nature. That we will see in the next ensuing chapter when he has a fight with Indradeva. Actually, his devotee nature comes out. He is not afraid of his death at all, actually. And that is why we will see how this pans out and why Bhagavatam spawns these verses of why demigods are afraid now. Vritrasura is not. But he is creating fear in the hearts of the Devadas. So here the Lord's plan is to bring fear in certain section of the Jivas. Who is the Devadas in this case? And why do we have fear? What is the reason of someone being afraid of? Why do we have fear in our hearts in the first place? What is the cause of fear? Or the root cause of fear?
Ignorance.
Ignorance?
Losing something that we have.
Correct. So what is that called as? Attachment. So attachment is the root cause of fear. Attachment to what? Sense gratification. Or attachment to desires that one has. And we will see how this is panning out in this section. But one good lesson we hear, understand here is, Bhagavatam describes Vritrasura as very bhikar, as very fearful, okay? But inherently he is a devotee. So what do we learn from this? We learn, there are a few lessons I just jotted on as points. Externalities do not matter. What does it mean? Some people might be very ghastly looking, but they might be very clean at heart. Very good at heart or very devotional at heart. At the same time, some may be very beautiful to look at, but they may be very ghastly at heart. Can you give me an example? Huh? Putana, one more in the Ramakatha? Shurpanaka, isn't it? So when Shurpanaka comes as a very beautiful lady in front of Rama and Lakshmana knows. So externalities do not matter. Those who judge them by the book, by the cover of the book, do not know what's in the book. So in this case, Vritrasura was a demon. And of course he was acting as a demon. He was attacking the Devatas. But at the same time, he was a devotee at heart. So the lesson is, Bhagavatam suggests all of this. But then later, the Lord reveals the plan that actually he is a devotee. He is not a demon. He is not so gory as he looks like. With a copper-colored moustache, and when I remember copper-colored, I remember some people put mehendi to their hair and they become copper-colored. So try to avoid, because we might look like Vritrasura's moustache and beard. Okay. Now, when the duel pursues between Vritrasura and Devatas, Who is winning? Who will win in this war eventually? Huh? The Devatas will win, isn't it? But did Devatas really win?
No.
Why?
Because Indra got chased by the sin of killing.
First thing. Second thing?
Because Vritrasura went back to...
Correct. So, what is apparently winning might not be winning. That we have to understand. Many a times in the material world, we might win certain situations, but this winning might be actually our loss. So in this case, when the Lord arranged the battle between Vritrasura and Indra, we will see how the Devatas have started praying. And it will also link to a beautiful day. Today is a very auspicious day because today is the disappearance day of Ramananda Rai. So, we will see how this pans out, of why they are praying and how it is connected. So, the Lord has made an arrangement in which the Lord is fulfilling the desires of the Devatas and giving Vritrasura what he deserved. You see, he did not desire liberation, but he got liberation. But the Devatas got back their kingdom. You see, despite, apparently we see Vritrasura losing to Indradev. But we'll see, Vritrasura was not fearful of that at all. So it's quite a beautiful picture that Shukadeva Goswami is painting in front of Parikshit Maharaj. So here, Indra was given what he was desired, and the devotee was given what he deserved. Actually, both are devotees. Both are devotees. But what's the difference? One is a Sakama devotee, and other is a Nishkama devotee. One has desires, material desires. Indradev and his followers have material desires. So therefore, they'll get. But the other one is Nishkama, so he will get the ultimate, which is finish off your activities in this world and get out of this material world. So that is why the Lord's plan and activities are very bewildering for the mundaners. Now, another lesson also we learn is the consciousness of the parent during the time of conception. The ghori body that Vritrasura had actually has to do with the mood and consciousness of his father, Tvashta. He wanted a demon to take off. Therefore, his son got that huge demoniac body, you see. So there's another lesson that especially parents, when we have conception, when we go through the conception, the consciousness is very important. And therefore, the importance of Garbhadhana Samskaram and the importance of the consciousness of the parent at the time of conception becomes very critical. Otherwise, we can end up copper colored beard and mustache. So, although by nature he was a devotee, so the Lord had an arrangement. Now, fear, we saw when the Devatas saw the demoniac form of Vritrasura, they were afraid. They were afraid that all their activities are going to end. In fact, Devatas are very powerful entities. In fact, Devatas, many Devatas are omnipresence. You know, they also exhibit omnipresence to a certain extent, to a certain degree. For example, if you see Yamaraj or the sun and the moon, they all witness our activities. What does it mean they witness? So they are aware of what we are doing at every point in time. So they keep a logbook of what we do. Same as with Yamaraj. Yamaraj can also be in 2-3 places at the same time. What is the example? Dharmaraj can be in 3 places at the same time. At least from Dwapar Yuga, at least we learn that.
Vidura
and Yudhishthira Maharaj and Dharmaraj, Yamaraj being the Yamaloka. So although being so powerful personalities, they are gripped by fear. So that means fear is a symptom of this material existence. In fact, there is a very famous Subhashita, which our famous SSR teacher Radha Gopinath Prabhu quotes in his SSR lectures. I'll just quote the verse. Bhoge roga bhayam kule chuti bhayam vitte nirpalat bhayam mane dainya bhayam bale ripu bhayam trinaya bhayam shastre dainya bhayam gune khala bhayam kaye kritanat bhayam sarvam vastu bhayanvitam bhuvi nrana vairagyam eva abhayam. Just understand this verse a little bit. Bhoge roga bhayam means, bhoge means people who are indulging in sense gratification. People who are very interested in too much of sense gratification, what are they afraid of? Roga bhayam, disease will come up. Someone who is too addicted to sweets, he is always afraid. I should be careful because I might get diabetes. So people indulging in sense pleasures are always afraid of contracting diseases. And then, the next one is kule chuti bhayam. People belonging to a prominent dynasty are afraid of losing their status. Status symbol. We have the queens and kings who feel very afraid of losing their status. And then, vitte nirpala bhayam. Vitte means rich people. Rich people are afraid of being taxed by the king. We see always, lot of rich people only do tax avoidance. People who are less than, you know, 60-70k, they are not worried about tax too much. The people who have too much money only, they will say, how can I avoid tax? Because I have too much, so I have to avoid them. So, this is a Shubhashita being written, I don't know, 5,000, 6,000 years ago. And, very nicely they have depicted what is the state. And therefore they will do all dealings in cash. They will not take it in account-to-account transactions, so they will not pay taxes, you see. The more people earn, the more headache it is. How to save the money, how to save from taxes. Mane dainya bhayam, bale ripu bhayam. Similarly, honorable persons are afraid of being poor. Mane, one who is very respectful, they will think, if people will not respect me. And powerful people are always afraid of their ripu. Ripu is enemies. Powerful people are always afraid that I might be attacked by an enemy, I might be killed by an enemy, I might be defeated by an enemy. And in this case, we see this example. Ripu means the devatas are afraid of the demons. Like this, young people are afraid of losing their beauty. That therefore, the cosmetic markets target the young people more. And learned people are afraid of arguments about their disciplines of learning. Learned people. What suppose if somebody defeats me? Keshav Kashmiri VC got defeated by Gauranga Mahaprabhu. Virtuous people are afraid of wicked persons, and human body is afraid of death. In fact, everything in this world is linked one way or the other with fear. So everything in this world is colored with fear, no matter what living entity. We see, I mean, apart from human form of life, there are so many living entities always in a constant state of fear. But at least in the human form of life is the only way where one can at least attempt to transcend this fear, this state of being called fear, fearfulness. One can transcend. And in this verse, vairagyam eva abhayam, only vairagyam or detachment can give us fearlessness. Detachment from what? Detachment from matter. So, fear is a symptom of this material world. So what is the solution then? In fact, the only remedy is what the devatas are doing right now. So the 21st verse which we read was the remedy. So they said they have now approached the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and they have now approached to pray to him to save them from this destruction of the demon. Is it good or not good to pray to the Lord like this? Like the devatas? Correct. It can be good. It is good. It is good. Akama sarva kama va moksha kama udarati. Tibrena bhakti yogena yajjeta param purusham param. So whether one has desires or no desires, they have to go to the Supreme Lord. And that's what the devotees, the devatas do it. So we see in the first canto, the first verse, the sages of Naimisharanya. Apanna samshritim ghoran yannama vish. Vibasho grinan tatasatyo vimuchyeta yadhibeti swayam bhayam. So the sages are saying there is only one way by which fear can be transcended. The only way is to pray yannama vibasho grinan. By chanting your holy name, only then one can transcend the fear, fear of fear. Swayam bhayam hibeti. The fear is afraid. The personification of fear is afraid of by what? By Krishna, by the names of Krishna. So therefore the devatas pray like this. So that is the only remedy. And then again, in the 12th canto, Markandeya Rishi prays, Nanyam tavangri upanayata pavarga murte kshemam janasya parito bhiya isha vidmaha brahma bhivedi alamato dvitparadha dishnaha kalasya te kim mutatat krita bhautikanam. I'll just read the... So the Markandeya Rishi is praying, my dear Lord, even Lord Brahma, who enjoys his exalted position of creating all other living entities, he himself is afraid of time. He himself is in a state of fear of old age and disease. So what to talk of those entities whom he has created? So fear is there everywhere in this material creation. Someone is, so based on their consciousness, they are afraid of something or the other. You see, so fear is always there, and the devatas also pray in the third canto. Namamate deva padaravindam prapanna tapopa shamana bhatapatram yanmulaketa yatayonjashoru samsara dukham bahiruchipanti. they say, this is just before creation, the devatas say, we pray to you because you do tapopashamana. Tapopashamana means what? To remove the miseries. So they pray like this to the Lord. And you are the atapatram. You know what's the meaning of atapatram? Patram is the leaf. Atapatram is the leaf which gives you shelter, which is the umbrella. The name for atapatram is umbrella in English. So your feet is the umbrella which saves us from all the rains of miseries. That's how they pray. So although they pray like this, the catch is, these are exalted prayers of the devatas, but these prayers, what is the catch? The catch is the intent behind these prayers. So that's why Bhagavatam, in the second verse itself, rejects all these types of prayers in one sense. Dharma prochita kaita vatra parmo nirmat sarana vedyam vastavam atra vastu shivadam tapatrayon mulanam. The idea is, prayers are not wrong, but the intent. So that is why yesterday Prabhu also was explaining, Shri Krishna Prabhu was explaining, it is not the activity that we do that is important, but the consciousness with which we do the activity is very important. So here the devatas are praying to protection. For protection of what? For their paraphernalia, basically their life, their belongings and their position as devatas. So although the prayers are glorious, it is still a catch. The catch is the intent for them to reside happily in this material world. So therefore, when we approach the Lord, when we ask Him for material benedictions, it is still called as Sakama devotion. It is Karma Mishra Bhakti. So therefore, I will summarize and then I will move on to a very interesting section in the Chaitanya Charitamrita. We will just recollect. It is also famously called as Ramananda Raya Chaitanya Sambhad. This section of Bhagavatam is dealing with the appearance of Vritrasana, and now the devatas have approached and the Lord gives them a solution also of how to finish off Vritrasana by the Nichi and his bones, and how a weapon has to be created for the devatas. Now amongst all of this, we also see that the prayers of the devatas, the exalted nature of the devatas, that they have to approach the Lord when they are in distress, which is what they teach us, that's the lesson we have to learn. But to take it to another level, we also have to learn that how long we are going to pray like this? How long are we going to pray for material benedictions? So when is that point when we come to the point that, Lord, I do not want anything except your service? When do we come to that stage of Shuddha Bhakti? And that is what the Lord actually discusses with Ramananda Raya, Shri Ramananda Raya. So in this Ramananda Raya Sambhad, and I'm doing this just for my own purification, so that when we recollect these pastimes, at least my consciousness gets purified, and at least I hope to come to that point where I come to the Lord not asking material benediction anymore. So there was a time when Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu started touring the whole of Bharata. And he tells to his mother that I want to go in search of his brother. What is his brother's name? Correct, Vishwarupa. So see how it's connected to the past time. So he goes in search of his brother Vishwarupa. But that was not the reason why Chaitanya Mahaprabhu left home. He left home for what? He wanted to meet Ramananda Raya. Who is Ramananda Raya? Correct. In Vrajalila, he is Vishakhasari. Imagine, such a close gopi. Lalita and Vishakha are the most closest comrades of Radharani. So, the Lord naturally wanted to meet Vishakhasari. That was the intent. And he had already inspired Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya to mention about Ramananda Raya when he left Puri. So, Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya would have mentioned to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu that when you are passing by the river Godavari, do not forget to meet Ramananda Raya, who is an exalted personality, although he doesn't look like one. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu keeps touring and he reaches the place, he tours a place near Simhachal, you know, Vishakhapatnam. There is a place called Simhachal, there is a Narsingha temple, and from there he moves down further south towards the river of Godavari. And near this river, Lord Chaitanya or Gauranga Mahaprabhu stays there and take some rest in Vishram. Right then, there is a convoy of government servants who come, and this is Mr. Ravananda Rai. Rai means he's a governor of Madras constituency. So Madras was not the Madras that we see today. So it was almost spread to Vishakhapatnam. Almost it was a whole area of the South Indian province. He was a Kshatriya by nature, and he was reporting to King Prataparudra. So he comes with his convoy and takes a bath in the river and offers oblation. And he is accompanied by Vedic Brahmanas. As Kesha Prabhu was saying, taking bath doesn't mean just taking three dips in the river. Taking bath means it entails so many details. It entails offering oblations to Surya Deva, to the forefathers, offering obeisances to Surya Deva and the planetary systems and the Devatas and so on and so forth. So there's a detail activity that happens. It is just not cleaning the body. Bathing means cleaning the body, that's what we think. But in the Vedic parlance, it's not cleaning the body. It is paying obeisances and expressing gratitude while cleansing the body. And that is why it is prescribed to take bath in a river or sea or in a body of water that is always exposed to the sun. That is the prescription given in the Shastras. How to take a bath means you have to take a dip in water that is exposed to the sun in daytime. The reason is the sun empowers the water body, whichever body it is, it's a lake or a river or a sea which is exposed to the sun. The energy of the sun is invested in the water, and when people come and take a dip, some of the energy is given to them and some things get, the consciousness gets purified. There's a system involved. It's not that we stand under a shower and the shower comes out and we take the chlorine mixed water, chlorine and fluoride mixed water in the houses these days. See, so there's an understanding of how one has to take a bath. So Ramananda Rai was taking his daily prayers and he was taking his bath, and then his eyes falls upon Gauranga Mahaprabhu. Within a moment he realizes that this is the Supreme Lord, and he goes and pays his prostrated obeisances. He falls on like a stick in front of the Lord, and he introduces himself. In fact, the Lord asks, "Oh, are you Ramananda?" In fact, the Lord knows. But he says, "Are you Ramananda Rai, the governor of Punjab?" Punjab. I keep speaking to a lot of Punjabi devotees. Governor of Punjab. And Ramananda Rai says, "Yes, my dear Lord, I am that wretched servant, Ramananda Rai. And I pay my prostrated obeisances to you, and I am so fortunate to have your audience, to have your darshan." And then Gauranga Mahaprabhu expresses his intense desire to embrace Ramananda Rai. So, and they do so. They embrace, and when they embrace, the feelings that flow through Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, who is Radha and Krishna combined, and the feelings and the emotions that Ramananda Rai expresses, that she is Vishakha Devi and she is serving Radha and Krishna together. So that is what the feeling exchanges of emotions is happening when they are embracing. So in that embrace, they become so ecstatic, they both become unconscious. Now while this is happening, the Brahmanas, especially the caste Brahmanas, are confused. So their eyes are always looking at Suchi Muchi and calculating the Varnashram. Sannyasi, Shudra, embracing, Sannyasi becomes unconscious, Shudra becomes unconscious. What's happening? So they will have now medical calculations. Sannyasi should not, you know, first of all, Sannyasi actually don't even pay obeisances to anyone. The Sannyasi is ordained to pay obeisances only to three people. Who are they?
Spiritual master.
Spiritual master, mother, and the Lord. Yeah, only to three. They don't have, or to another Sannyasi. To another Sannyasi they have. But other than that, they are not obliged to pay obeisances to anyone else, according to the Varnashrama Achara. But here is a Sannyasi who is hugging and embracing and expressing, ecstatic emotions. Because the caste Brahmanas, sometimes a computer, when they have some logic that runs bad, then computer becomes in some smoke, starts emanating, so the Brahmanas were bewildered. So they couldn't understand. So immediately, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and Ramananda Rai understood that they should not display these emotions in front of the naive public, especially the caste. So we have to. So this is why yadyat acharati shreshta. It's not that the Brahmanas are wrong, it's just that their maturity level is not to that level where they can understand the ecstasy of the Lord. So therefore, they withheld their emotions. And then Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, they agreed to meet in the evening, alone, to discuss. So then Ramananda Rai comes back. Rai comes back with a very plain clothes, and then he pays his obeisance again to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and they start a wonderful discussion, which is called as Ramananda Rai and Chaitanya Mahaprabhu Sampad. And in fact, the pastime is so nice. The 8th chapter of the Madhya Lila goes in detail about this. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, there is a beautiful verse which the Acharyas have said. I don't know if the verse is in Chaitanya Charitamrita. It's a metaphorical verse in which it says, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is like an ocean of love of Godhead. From that ocean, you know what happens? Cloud gets created. How does the cloud get created? Cloud gets created with pure water of the ocean. The salt gets removed and then water evaporates and the cloud gets created. So Ramananda Rai is like a cloud. It's just like a tiny cloud which has come out of the same ocean, like love of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And now, in this discussion, when Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is asking questions to Ramananda Rai, Ramananda Rai is answering the questions of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Apparently, one may think that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is seeking answers, but it is not seeking answers. It is just that the cloud is pouring back the same water from where the water had evaporated. So, it is pouring back the same water into Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. But when that exchange is happening, it seems as if when the answers of Ramananda Rai is going into the ears of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, it is said when the rain falls from the cloud, the Shastras say, when the rain falls from the cloud on a specific nakshatra, I don't know if it is Jyeshtha or some other nakshatra, the pearls get formed in the ocean. Precious pearls begin to form on a specific. So this is the science of astronomy and astrology in Vedic science. So in the same way, when Ramananda Rai was speaking, it seemed as if the pearls were blossoming in the hearts of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. There is a beautiful verse which I don't remember and I haven't brought it in my notes. But there is a metaphorical understanding of how they depicted this Samvad, and it's a very, very beautiful Samvad. And the reason is, this Samvad is very important to understand the tattva of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and the mood of our mission, actually. In fact, the first question that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu asks is, "Hey Ramananda Raya, can you please tell me what is sadhya and sadhana? What is sadhya means what? What is sadhya? Sadhya is a goal of life. What is the goal of life? And what is sadhana? What is the means to achieve that goal?" This is the first question that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu asks. Now we have to understand that this question is not for Chaitanya Mahaprabhu to know the answer. And this question is not that Ramananda Rai Prabhu is being interviewed. It is just a loving exchange that is taking place between two devotees. And this is what happens when two devotees meet. Not that ghar mein kya pak raha hai, what is cooking in the house? Parathe or gulab jamun. So these discussions don't happen among devotees. But this is another example of what devotees do when they meet. Machitta madgatah prana bodhayantah parasparam kathayantascha mam nityam dushyanti charamanti. So to this Ramananda Raya answers, Varnashramachara vata purushena parakuman vishnu raradhyate panta namyat tattosha karanam. He says, the sadhya is to haritoshanam, to please the Lord. That is the sadhya. And sadhana is varnashrama. Varnashrama achara vata. One has to follow the varnashrama. This is the sadhana. And the goal of life is to please Hari by following varnashrama system. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu says, I understand your answer from an external perspective that varnashrama is required for a social organization to organize the society, but it is external only. It doesn't talk about the nature of a jiva. Brahmana, Kshatriya, Vaishya and Shudra is an external classification. Brahmacharya, Grihastha, Sannyasi and Vanaprastha are an external classification. but it doesn't talk about the intrinsic nature of the jiva. So, in one sense, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu expresses that, I understand this is a platform, but this cannot be the goal. This cannot, Haridhoshanam is fine. But, Haridhoshanam for what? Because predominantly Varnashrama talks about the four human ends. What is that? Dharma, Artha, Kama, Moksha. Dharma, Artha, Kama and Moksha. Varnashrama has to be followed for either religious principles or for financial gains or for desires to be fulfilled or for liberation ultimately. But all of these four have an intrinsic problem in them. What is that? It has a selfish desire. Where it is still the jiva is desiring it. There is no Krishna in the picture. So therefore in that sense, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu says, it is not, you have not gone deeper enough. Can you go a little deeper? Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is inspiring Ramananda Rai to go a little deeper. Go a little deeper. Like that, he asks many questions. So like that, he goes to many verses. And then he goes to a level to say, the highest wealth is actually the love between Radha and Krishna. And one who attains this love of Radha Krishna, which is what our Gaudiya Sampradaya is. What is the ultimate goal of our process of bhakti? To attain Krishna Prema. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu came to give us this. Namo Mahavadanyaya Krishna Prema Pradayate. So this is what Chaitanya Mahaprabhu wanted to elicit from Ramananda Rai. So in that, gradually he steps up. But in these discussions, we have to understand these questions and answers very carefully, that not to reject Varnashrama at the same time. That is why Prabhupada established farms and communities around. Because Varnashrama should not be rejected. Immature rejection of Varnashrama can lead to disastrous society, and there is a very thin line between rejecting Varnashrama and Sahajism. Very thin line. So therefore Varnashrama is imperative. That is why we see Ramananda Raya, although being a very exalted personality, externally he was following his Varnashrama as a governor, offering oblations in the water. See, all this is, and what to talk of Ramananda Raya? What was Chaitanya Mahaprabhu wearing? He was wearing saffron. He was a sannyasi. So he has not rejected Varnashrama, but just being in Varnashrama consciousness is not enough. One has to go deeper to the extent of Radha and Krishna bhakti and the bhakti of the gopis. So like that, a lot of questions and answers get discussed in this, like what is the best education, or what is the greatest activity for a living entity, what is the supreme wealth. I'll just read the question and answer, but for the benefit of all of us. What is the best education? Ramananda Raya says, the best education is devotion to Krishna. That is bhakti. To know bhakti, bhakti jnana is, because jnane prayasa, because Ramananda Raya also rejects knowledge, seeking knowledge just for the sake of knowledge. You see, in fact, we are studying in our Bhakti Vaibhav, the third canto, Kapila Deva says, even knowledge to know about Krishna is inferior. Can you even understand that? Knowledge to know Krishna also is inferior. Because there is still me and I want to get that knowledge to know Krishna involved. So therefore, it is not spontaneous, Kapila Muni says. Gopis don't want to know about Krishna. Gopis just want to serve Krishna. We don't want to know that who Krishna is, but we just want to love Krishna. So this is the highest. It's quite subtle, but it's quite interesting. And the third canto, Kapila Deva's instructions, this is chapter 28, 29 and 30, if you read, you'll come to see Kapila Deva says this. And then Chaitanya Mahaprabhu says, what is the greatest activity for a living entity? Ramananda Rai says, Jivera Sarupa Hoy, Krishna Ranitya Das. And then the last one, I'll just cut short. The last question, what is the question he asks? What is the supreme wealth of a jiva? What is the wealth? What is the most precious wealth one can have? Krishna? Yeah, the love of Radha and Krishna. This is the supreme wealth. So like this, there are so many questions that is asked, and if possible, it's a nice somewhat to read today on the display day of the exalted personality Ramananda Rai with Gauranga Mahaprabhu, and to gradually unveil these questions and answers and see how it can apply to our own consciousness in our path of bhakti, and how we can progress from sadhana to spontaneous devotion. So with this, I will just summarize it briefly. That in the section of Bhagavatam, appearance of Ritrasura has been discussed. And it's an ironical section where Vritrasura is a demon but a devotee by nature. The Lord is partial in one sense, he makes the devatas to win, but in a sense Vritrasura had the bigger win. You see, there was a movie called Bazigar, one who loses but still wins. It's a nice word, Urdu word, or it's not a Hindi word, I don't know what's the Hindi word for it. And then how it also flows very beautifully to the discussions or the samvad between Ramananda Rai and Gauranga Mahaprabhu, which comes in the 8th chapter of the Madhya Leela of Chaitanya Charitamrita. So I'll stop here. If there are any questions or comments or corrections. Yes, sure.
I will say that you should not have fear. He said that we should have fear of getting entangled in the material world, and if we don't have fear of getting entangled, then getting entangled.
Yeah.
So I can't
understand. Okay. The question is, we have heard that one should be fearful of this material world, correct? But at the same time, one has to be fearless. How do we understand, or how do we put these two opposing statements together? It's not confusing at all, because fear of material attachment is good. If I'm afraid of material attachment, I'll get attached to matter, it's good. Fear of this material universe, fear of getting entangled in matter is actually a good fear. We are using, if as long as fear is used as a tool to propel me towards Krishna, that is good fear. But as long as I'm afraid of losing my material attachment, that binds me more. You see, anything can be used in this material world for helping me to progress towards Krishna. Make sense? For example, greed. Is greed good or bad? So greed in itself is not good or bad. But how I apply that greed decides whether greed is good or bad. Make sense? So that's why I said, it's not the activity itself of being fearful that is important, but the intent of that activity, the consciousness. So if I'm afraid that I will fall down in this material universe, that's a good fear to have. Correct? So it's a good fear to have so that I'm always oriented towards Krishna. But at the same time, I should not be fearful that I will lose my material qualifications or material attachments. So I should not be fearful of that. So, we should be fearless from that perspective, but we should be fearful from this perspective. So, it goes hand in hand. Does it answer your question? Yeah, thank you. Okay, we'll stop here. Grantharaj Shivan Bhagavatam Ki Jai, Shlapa Bhagavatam Ki Jai, Ananta Koti Vaishnava Vrindhi Ki Jai, Nalai Gaurav Vimai.